This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. Family Preservation Project, a program of the YWCA of Greater Portland, helps incarcerated women form relationships with their families. At Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, Oregon's only women's prison, the Family Preservation Project connects hundreds of women with their children by teaching parenting skills and providing supervised visits in prison. My guests are Jessica Katz, director of the Family Preservation Project, and two alumni of the Family Preservation Project, Vanessa Sherrod and Shanoa Williams, both recently released from Coffee Creek Correctional Facility. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
So, Shanoa, you are an alumni of the Family Preservation Project. Talk about the Family Preservation Project and how it helped you connect with your family and maintain that connection with your children while you were still in prison.
So the first 2 years I was in there, I didn't have the Family Preservation Project, and so I didn't get visits hardly or phone calls, and so our relationship was really strained. And by the time I got into FPP, Family Preservation Project, I was able to not only work on the relationship with my kids and the therapeutic visits, but also through family meetings. I got to have family meetings with family members, like my caregiver and other family members, that I was concerned about some resentments and stuff based off of my behaviors or their behaviors. And so we got to sit down face-to-face in a safe space and work on those issues. So after I got into Family Preservation Project, I got to see my kids regularly, have those phone calls that they paid for because, you know, you live off of what you make in there, and it's not much, and so you can't afford phone calls if your family doesn't have the funds, and most of our families don't. So I got to have regular phone calls. I got to mail them things just so they know I'm thinking about them and that I care. They got to see me show up for them every single day, no matter what it was. Was it counseling, school? They got to see me show up, and that really helped with the relationship to strengthen it and know that they can trust me. Family preservation turned out to be like more than just a program in prison. It's become how I conduct myself every day in my life.
Explain that.
I've learned how to communicate in healthy ways and set boundaries, and I use those every day. I know how to ask for help now. I'm able to deal with difficult situations at work or just in the community or at home with my children without reacting how I would have before. It's more productive, it's calmer, it's better results.
And how long were you incarcerated and away from your children?
I was incarcerated for 5 years.
5 years. Vanessa Sherrod, you're also an alumni of the Family Preservation Project at Coffee Creek. You were just released 1 month ago. Talk about your experience with the Family Preservation Project at Coffee Creek.
Well, just like Shanoa here, I was able to be involved in my children and my family's life while incarcerated. We were able to break the resentments and build on the values and seeing my children through their eyes. I feel like I was able to connect with them and really look at what they were dealing with while I was there and help nurture that. I was able to take that time with our visits or with our phone calls or build the support that was around them, whether it was through their school, through the family at home, and the community. That's what the program did for me. It opened those doors where I could connect with everybody that surrounded my children to create a healthy environment for them. And as a mom, we want that. We want that for our children. We want to make sure they're taken care of.
And how long were you incarcerated?
I was incarcerated for 3 years, 8 months, and I was involved with the Family Preservation Project for 3 years.
Okay, so almost the whole time you were there.
Mm-hmm.
So how old were your children?
When I first went into Coffee Creek, my children were 7, 9, and 11.
Shanoa and Vanessa, did you both have pretty good relationships with your children prior to being incarcerated? Shanoa?
I did, yes. We were super close. I was a single mom their whole lives, so we were just super bonded and really close.
And Vanessa?
Yeah, we had a family foundation that had began, you know, since they were born. And obviously, before I was incarcerated, things started to become very strenuous in our home from the choices that I was making, but there was still a bond there.
Mm-hmm. And when you were able, through the Family Preservation Project, to begin reconnecting with your children, what kind of behaviors were you seeing in your children? What did their moms being in prison, how did that affect your children, Shanoa?
For me, my son is now 13. He was 7 when I was incarcerated. He's always had some behavior issues, mental health issues. So by the time I got into Family Preservation Project, he was on a suicide prevention plan at 9 years old.
Vanessa?
Behaviors that I seen were just some very confused feelings and emotions around what was happening. It was kind of a shocker when I got removed from the home. They didn't know that it was just like all of a sudden mom was in prison. They had no idea it was coming when it happened. So there was, you know, anger, resentment, these emotions that they couldn't even name themselves. It was hard for them to really explain what was going on. But during that time that I got involved with the program and started looking at what they were going through, that's where we started working on that.
So how did the Family Preservation Project help you work on these issues when you didn't even know what was going on with your children? They couldn't name it. What did the Family Preservation Project do for you and your children at that time?
Well, we would meet twice a week in classes together, and that's where they would bring the criteria where we learn about our children and where their mental state was and what they were dealing with. It was just knowledge that they brought that helped us understand what they were going through and learn how to speak to them and use our communication skills to get across with our children and kind of meet them at their level and say, like, hey, you know, tell me how you're feeling. Do you understand why mom went to prison? Do you know what's going on right now? Do you know that, you know, letting them know that we're safe and we're working on getting home to them to be healthy mothers, you know, and individuals so that we can be a better version of ourselves.
So was Family Preservation Project staff witnessing behaviors of your children, or did you have an opportunity to go and talk to them after the meetings with your kids? How did they actually target those specific behaviors that your children were experiencing?
They were there for the phone calls. They were there for the visits. They were there for like all the interactions we had with our children. So, and anytime we were feeling a certain type of way, we would be able to bring it back to them and actually talk it through so we understood that it wasn't just, we were kind of removing ourselves from it being just about us, but like really looking at what's going on with them. You know, we wanted to be there for them. The program is for our children. It's focused for them and the people that surround their lives.
Mm-hmm. Shanoa, so you're 7-year-old going through some really tough times, with suicide. How did you cope with that in prison, and how did the Family Preservation Project help you?
So it was kind of a jumble. Like my son was going through that before Family Preservation came back, because it had went away for a while for funding, and it was just coming back, and I was accepted into the program. And at that point, it was coaching. It's like therapy, but it's coaching. They just talk me through my emotions. I can voice what I'm feeling or thinking. And then once I got into the program, I was able to help him find the right counseling and medication that my sister just wasn't able to do. Whatever her reasoning, she had, you know, they have a lot going on.
Yeah, on the outside.
On the outside, the taking character. On new kids and everything. She went from a parent of one overnight to 3. And so she really struggled. And so getting into the program, I was able to help take the load off of my sister a lot and get my son the needs met that weren't being met previously. As Vanessa previously said, the Family Preservation Project saw his behaviors and his comments on the phone calls to see exactly where he was at and help guide me through the phone calls and the behaviors. You know, in the phone calls, we could put it on mute and he can't hear me, and they're trying to help me figure out what to say to help him, because as a mom, sometimes you just want to blurt out what you think is going to make them feel better. So you have to really think about what you're saying in the moment, and they really helped me with that, and it really, really helped with my children. Not just my son that had those issues, but my other children that also had similar issues, just not as extreme. It really helped to just can't focus on the right here. You have to focus on the long run, and so what you say in one moment is going to have an impact. And so they really helped me figure those things out.
The Family Preservation Project staff is really down to a very minute level involved with the phone calls.
Yes.
And helping you mm-hmm. to not blurt out
yes.
or something. Wow.
It's just like giving us the opportunity to like make the phone calls we need to our community. Like the reach out that we have with the schools and the counselors and their teachers and having that open communication, we knew the behaviors that were happening at their schools. So then we were able to intervene and find mentors or find counseling or find mental health, whatever it was that door that was opened. Mm-hmm. Because our children are going through a lot when their parent is missing from home.
So you spoke with teachers and counselors mm-hmm. at the schools?
Yes. I had an amazing relationship with all my kids' teachers and counselors. It was pretty impressive how well they were so involved with my children and so willing to connect. And we would, through their email system, we would set up parent conference phone calls over the phone. I'd be able to go on Parent View and check my kids' grades and be able to be on top of, like, if I notice that their grades are slipping, maybe they need some help. Mm-hmm. Maybe something's going on at home. Maybe they're dealing with some things, and I was able to intervene. Mm-hmm. It was just like a huge support system, and that's all it took was being able to make those phone calls from the Family Preservation Project's office.
Were your children able to visit you in prison?
They were able to, but they didn't come very often. If they came, it was once or twice a month for maybe a half hour, an hour.
And so what was different about just visiting the prison versus your children visiting with the Family Preservation Project?
So in regular visiting, it's really strict, and you don't get to touch your kids for very long periods of time, maybe a hug at the beginning and a hug at the end. And so it's not really set up for bonding and spending any quality time with your children while they're there. You sit at a table, and if you're lucky, the officer will let them sit on your lap. Otherwise, they have to sit in a chair next to you. Where in Family Preservation Project, we have carpets we can lay on and roll around with our kids on the floor. We can hug and cuddle and sit and talk and touch all we want. So it's not just spending time, it's that bonding, that skin-to-skin contact and just touching and playing. And that has a huge impact on not just the visit in that moment, but for the relationship.
And how often with the Family Preservation Project did your children come into the prison to visit with you?
Twice a month, 3 hours each time.
And you said they were therapeutic visits.
Yes.
Talk about that.
So they're not just where, you know, your kids show up and you come in and you just sit and play games. It's you and your kids, because the caregivers don't come in. It's just your kids get dropped off to you. And you get to spend that quality time with your kids, and they have things set up like arts and crafts or certain games, and then we have lunch and breakfast. So it's not just a visit. It's spending time with your child. It's getting to be yourselves.
When you started rebuilding that relationship with your children, how old were your children?
They were 4 and 7 when I got incarcerated. Mm-hmm.
What I wanted to mention about the visiting as well is the long wait in regular visiting, the long waits outside. So like for our kids to come see us on a normal visit through Coffee Creek, I mean, it could be take an hour to 2 hours outside to get them inside.
They're waiting outside in the cold.
Outside in the cold.
In the rain,
whatever it be. And if you can think about the children at that moment, like what they have to go through, the traumatic experience itself to come visit your parent in prison, you know, think about what that visit's going to be like and know that you're going to have to go through a metal detector. You're going to have to deal with someone who's may or may not greet your children how you would hope.
Security guards in their uniforms. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then someone yelling, time's up, time for visiting up at the end of the visit. But our visits with the Family Preservation Project, the kids get dropped off, they get walked right in. They get greeted, make them feel welcomed, and then they're just, you know, brushed right through in to be with their mom. And the end of our visits in the program, we're singing a song and saying, So long,
farewell to you, my friends. Goodbye for now, until we meet again. It's been great to play.
It's a good song.
It's a good way to end a visit.
It is.
It makes them know they're coming back, and we're going to see you soon.
Yeah, and we're going to see them soon. And that's the difference. Instead of an officer yelling, time's up. Got it, you know.
Get out.
It's time to get out. Time to close the visit.
Get out of my visiting room.
Yeah, get out of my visiting. Well, that's true.
Somehow I see you two singing in the regular visit.
Yeah.
Probably, right? Just to try to make it better for our kids, though.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Because that's what we want, is exactly. What's best for our kids.
Are there any programs at Coffee Creek that help mothers stay connected with their children while they're in prison?
So there's very few children-focused programs. They have Early Head Start, they have Girl Scouts, but it's not really focused on the family as a whole. So they have FRC, that's also part of Family Preservation Project.
And what is that?
Family Resource Center. It helps hundreds of women in a month to make those phone calls and get in contact with their caseworkers. It's a wider scale help base, whereas Family Preservation Project is 12 families. And so that's an intensive program. FRC tries to help as many people as they can because there aren't things like that in Coffee Creek. You just can't get a hold of your family, caregivers, doctors, anything like that from any other program.
So this resource center, talk a little bit about that. Now, you said that's part of Family Preservation
Yes.
Project. Yes. Family Preservation Project is just 12 women.
Mm-hmm.
So the Family Resource Center covers a wider range of mothers in Coffee Creek?
Yeah.
Well, I started out in the Family Resource Center.
Did you too? Okay, yes.
But that's where I started out, was just being able to do card-making classes and send out free mail and cards to my kids. I started doing, like, parenting teen classes and having mom groups where we would meet, like, once or twice a month. Opened opportunities to help me get my husband and my kids on the visiting list. What about you?
It was the card making and being able to go in and sit in a room with other moms and talk about other families' stuff that's going on, compare, just be able to make phone calls. I know a lot of women that was able to get in contact with their caseworkers through DHS that otherwise wouldn't have, and was able to, like, prevent getting their rights terminated, because if you don't have contact with your attorney or whatever, you know, you don't know what's going on in your court case, and so things could progress and you don't know. And a lot of women don't know. And so that's what the FRC and FPP tries to do, is help people that have DHS cases get those phone calls made, get court dates so they can show up for their kids.
Mm-hmm. Family Preservation Project has the 12 spots that are the intensive side of programming. While as long as they continue funding for the program, I think they will continue to try to grow and create more spots available. But the FRC program serves close to 140 women or more. So it's probably the one program in Coffee Creek that serves the most women, mothers. Family Preservation Project also helped me connect with my community. So, like, my son, I was able to reach out and get a scholarship for baseball. So the community provided that. The South Salem League provided a scholarship for my son to go to baseball. And anything that they couldn't provide, the program picked up on cost so that he could do and become the MVP. And he's still involved and doing great, getting ready to go to high school baseball. So both my daughters, they got scholarships in gymnastics. Gymnastics is expensive, but I was able to reach out and ask for scholarships so that my girls could be involved in something. That kind of thing is what, you know, keeping our kids motivated, them doing something on their downtime while in school.
See, I think the important part about the extracurricular activities is keeping them busy in something that's positive and healthy. Because I know if I was a kid and I had some of these extracurricular activities available to me, it would have definitely helped. And I think any extracurricular activity for a child that can be dance. My daughter went through dance. My son, you know, with his issues, we tried a few different day camps and these and that. You know, everybody's different. But without those programs, it's pretty detrimental for kids, and especially in situations like our kids, you know, going through what they've gone through. Being able to go and have a schedule to go and, oh, I'm going to go do this on this day, and this is fun, and I enjoy it.
And it also helped the caregivers, give them a break,
yeah.
You know, so that
win-win everywhere.
They could have some self-care time while our kids are being motivated to do something good with their time.
So both of you released, Shanoa, you released a year ago.
Yeah.
And Vanessa, you released just a short month ago.
Yes.
What has life been like with your children, family, teachers, community since you released from prison?
Life with my family and community and everybody has been super great. I mean, it's stressful, it's life, but it's been really great. The day I came home, my kids went back to me, and I built this idea up in my head that it was going to be so crazy and so stressful, and we all do that. But I have to say that with the time I spent sitting down with Ms. Katz and Ms. Rolette, doing one-on-one time preparing for that time to get out with the Family Preservation Project, I got out and I never had any freak out moments. I didn't have any panic attacks. It's because I had worked it all through my mind already in different scenarios and just having conversations and working them through them and putting plans in place and backup plans. And that literally helped everything. You know, I have a full-time job. I'm a single parent. I'm doing all the things I have to for parole office. It's hard, but it's life. And I'm happy. My kids are happy and they're doing great. My family, they're super proud of me. I'm doing great in my job. My boss loves me. Life is good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Vanessa, how are you doing?
Yeah, month in. Okay. So for me, so it was like, I could say like a month ago, I had all these fears. But I was able to process those fears while I was inside. They became less and less fears and less of a fear as I processed them. When I got home and realized like all the work I had done it, through the Family Preservation Project is what made the transition so easy. It was the support that I had already worked on, that the system that was already built on for the last 3 years I was in the program was already there. It was up front. When I got home, I seen the work that I had done with my family. I had seen the work I had done with their schools. I had seen the work I had done with my kids, and it was beautiful. It wasn't as stressful as I thought it was going to be. Everything came into place just as it was supposed to. And if it wouldn't have been for the work we did, I don't think it would have been that easy. Because I seen the other women that I got out with, the different struggles they're facing. They didn't get the opportunity I did to work through the programming and create a success story. And yeah, it's hard, and there's but it's kind of crazy all the skills that we recognize that we have just in like the communications we have with our family. Like, we notice the skills that we possess, and it's because we've been working on them for years.
Mm-hmm. And are most women who go through the Family Preservation Project successful?
I think everybody that's been through the Family Preservation Project, I think there's only been two people that went back.
To prison.
Yeah. So two out of tons
yeah.
of women. That's amazing. It's a way better recidivism rate than any other program Coffee Creek has. Mm-hmm.
Funding is always an issue with the Family Preservation Project. You've been on Prison Pipeline for a few times now, Jessica Katz. And the Oregon legislative session will begin in a few weeks on February 3rd. And it is a short session this year. FPP, I understand, was not funded in the 2019 session.
Yeah, the project was left unfunded at the end of what was a fairly chaotic session. And I know that we were not the only sort of casualty of some of the many things and many priorities that were also left unfunded.
So what happens in the 2020 legislative session here in Oregon?
In the 2020 legislative session, we are hoping to pass House Bill 4131. If successful, House Bill 4131 would put funding in statute for the Family Preservation Project through the Criminal Justice Commission until 2027.
Wow, and you'll be funded for quite a few years.
It could be game-changing.
Yes, that would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. What do you want to tell our listeners about House Bill 4131 and the funding of the Family Preservation Project until 2027?
Well, as you mentioned, we have been here before. We have had somewhat of an uphill battle securing sustainable funding for the project. We're proud of where we've come, but we are still scratching the surface of what is a much larger need, and particularly around reentry. We would love to do more there. There are many things that we know need to be done that have been backburnered for a while because we have been primarily focused for many, many years on just securing sustainable funding. So the hope would be that we could just continue to get better at what we already do and scale the services so that we're getting closer to meeting the actual need.
And I understand the YWCA of Greater Portland does help with some private funds. They do help raise some private funds for the Family Preservation Project. So the state of Oregon is not carrying the whole burden. What do you have to say to our legislators in Salem?
There's sort of this like a concentric circle. I think we've been called out for the numbers being small for lots of years, which is one of the reasons why we've been trying to grow and scale the program. But even when you're talking about a cohort of 12 moms, 30 kids, and then the caregiving families, there is an impact when Shanoa's son is doing better in school because we're addressing his trauma. There is a ripple effect. So then the kids in that classroom are also doing better because maybe he's not utilizing more of the resources in the room. So it's larger than I think the numbers portray, in that there is a ripple effect on the larger family system, on the community system, on the school system.
The foster care system mm-hmm. goes beyond just the moms.
Just the 12 families that they're helping.
Exactly. Shanoa?
For me, I hope that they hear that this program is everything we've talked about, but at the end of the day, all of that is to help break the cycle of addiction and criminal activity and all of those things that haunt us. Yes, we've made mistakes. Yes, we've done the things we've done. And I think as long as somebody is willing to accept responsibility and learn from those mistakes, that we should all be given that opportunity. And without a program like Family Preservation Project, I never would have had the opportunity, and somebody else needs it.
If you stand behind the Family Preservation Project and you've got bandwidth to either call or write your elected officials to state your support of the program, we welcome that. We wanted to express our heartfelt gratitude to the chief sponsor of House Bill 4131, Representative Carla Peluso, and co-chief sponsor, Representative Rachel Prusak.
We urge all of our listeners to please contact your legislators. House Bill 4131 will hopefully be voted on to fund the Family Preservation Project until 2027.
I only just wanted to say that I have to tip my hat to all the moms that do participate in the program, because you're really walking through the flames to come out the other side. Many, many women at Coffee Creek put aside the fact that their mothers and that their children are suffering, because it is too hard to confront that reality. And the moms that I have worked with for all of these years choose to confront the pain that they have caused, and they confront the suffering that their children are in the midst of, and they walk through and they come out the other side.
I've been speaking with Jessica Katz, Vanessa Sherrod, and Shanoa Williams with the Family Preservation Project. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland.